Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Okay, testing and tracing and testing. That's the big issue that our listeners are on about today, because that is part of the contract. The public reined in, and they have reined in. There's no two ways about it over the last 7 weeks, effectively, at this rate. And then the aim was, on the one hand, hold back, prep the hospitals to hold, give them time to hold back the curve so the hospitals could be prepped in time. That's happened. And the other part of that deal was, there was a whole issue of nursing homes and what happened there, but and what is happening there. But the other part of the deal was that until we had a tracing and testing regime, which has worked in South Korea, which has worked in New Zealand, which has worked in Germany, really quick, really track down people. The minute someone is tested positive for COVID-19, you get all the people they've been in contact with and you try and get to them within 24 hours and test them. And if one of them comes up positive, you go after the people they've been in touch with and vice versa. In other words, you're hunting COVID-19 with a vengeance. Now, we're told that the testing system still hasn't ramped up to what we were promised. Let me bring in Dermot Power. Dermot, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Your daughter.
Was a relation of mine.
Yeah.
And Joe, it was, you hate being negative, Joe. Everyone is working so hard to try and defeat this. I'm aware of four people, actually five people, that were waiting a month. Now, I know in the case of my relation, she was waiting 4 weeks for a result. And after much telephoning around, various departments couldn't get a reply. And it's only the other day the reply was gone. At that stage, they'd gone back to work. Now, the other three people that working with her...
And it's only when you get to test results, obviously, if they're positive, you then fly after the people they've been in touch with, so to speak, and test them. But if it's negative, well, that's the end of it. But you still need the test result ASAP.
Well, you do, but, I mean, 4 weeks seems to be a long time. And, like, I don't know if the other three people working with them have gotten the results yet. It's only the other day. Okay. I got a phone call saying that everything was okay. And a friend of mine, his brother was extremely ill, and his family were told that it was touch and go. And he hasn't got his result back. He's back in work. So, you know, like, he came out on the good side of it, and he eventually went back to work. But he didn't get his result back yet.
Say with us, 51551, wash your hands. Jenny O'Donovan. Jenny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your husband died, as we discovered earlier on in this awful pandemic, and you spoke so movingly about him. But because he was in a nursing home, we need to know whether he died of COVID, whether he was positive COVID-19. Now, how long have you been waiting on the results of the test?
Since the 27th of March.
So that's nearly a month. More.
About 5 weeks.
5 weeks, okay. 20, many days, 34 days.
Yes.
And I know you want the results for your own, not just emotional recourse, but also to organise death certs and various other things.
But, yes.
But it's also critical for, where was he when he died, Jenny?
He was in a nursing home, which surely it should have been a priority for them.
Yeah. And do you know if anyone else in the nursing home has COVID-19 positive?
Well, I'm pretty sure they haven't there, which is very good.
Yeah. So that's why we need to know, because he would have been in touch with the staff and obviously other residents. I don't know. In other words, if there's no God forbid here, because unfortunately Dermot has passed away, but if he was COVID-19 positive and we discovered this, was there other people that were in touch with him during his last weeks? I presume you were.
I was in touch with him. Well, and the night he was dying, you know, the family were with him.
Okay, so if he is COVID-19 positive, all of those will have to be tested.
But surely it's so long now that we're all okay, so
it seems unlikely
that any of us had it.
Right. And have you tried to get the results?
We've been trying all the time. The ambulance service have been trying to trace it, and they keep saying they've written to all their quality managers, etc. But we've still not, heard. If they told us one way or the other, if it was lost, well, we could accept that and, you know, hopefully move on.
But in the nursing home, as a precaution, do they have all the names, addresses, and most importantly, phone numbers of the people who visited your husband? Do you follow me?
We would be able to give them.
Okay, what I'm saying is, did they keep a contemporaneous record? Because you'd have to try and remember who was in. Seeing him, whereas if they had handed everyone who came into a nursing home, now this can happen in the future. It's not just all looking back, but where anyone, including visitors, can come in, but including contractors and medics, but they all must sign in, leave a phone number, say what day they were there, if a COVID case emerges. But anyway, that's all in the learning process. But you still haven't received the results of the test. That's the bottom line, Jenny.
It is, and we would like to.
Okay,
and
of course.
And Joe, thank you for sending me a condolence card. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very kind. You're very kind. And, yes, Dermot.
That was the result of my initial call, was the fact that I knew five people who had been waiting almost a month for results. If that's replicated all around the country, how many people are out there in limbo land? Mm. Therein lies the problem, you know? So,
and the testing numbers we're told will go up this week again. But if you can't get the results within a relatively short time, so you can hunt down the contacts and test them,
exactly.
And if one of them is positive, you hunt down their contacts and test them, and that's the way you try and outrun this pandemic. Okay, Dermot Power. Dermot, thanks indeed. And Jenny O'Donoghue, again, condolences on Dermot's passing. And we'll keep in touch to see when. It's over a month since he was tested and still no results. Thanks indeed, Jenny. And as Jenny points out, it's not just for the family that need to know, but it's for the people that he was living with in the nursing home. Was he COVID-19 positive? Catherine Mooney. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
You are involved in a mental health education programme. It's called Heads Up.
Yeah, Heads Up. I've been going now since 2011, but it's under the South Dublin County Partnership.
Okay.
We're working now at the moment. Actually, we had to change up our workload and our approach now because of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we're working with those that are still socially excluded and isolated now, even with everything else going on, issues have exacerbated. So with the partnership and the local authority, we've developed a community check-in phone line.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting, I think we've taken 897 calls in now since we set it up, but the issues that are coming in between the partnership and the Heads Up programme that we're running, overarchingly, the issue is isolation, loneliness, and there's a lot of good community supports that are changing their approach and offering other supports in various ways.
And when people talk to you about isolation, what are they saying?
There's one example, actually, the reason why I was ringing in as well is there's a few people there. There was one that I'm thinking of now. She's an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she would have had a phone, but it wasn't a smartphone, and she wouldn't have a laptop or anything like that, but she'd be used to going to mass, and she can't get to mass now.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking at, you know, we're talking to her about setting up Zoom and accessing mass through that, but she needs the laptop. Then I've other people that would have had phones again, but not the smartphones. They're living on their own, and they just don't see people. They're self-isolating. They're in quarantine now. They're cocooning, and it's just that connection of seeing their family, seeing their neighbours. They're missing out on that, so it's the visual piece that a laptop can provide now. So
And anyone has done Zoom, I think everyone, well, everyone in the country hasn't, obviously, but a lot of people have. Anyone who's done Zoom, though, it is a bit of fun, and it can be very helpful. And again, but you need a smartphone or a laptop. Now, you want people to contact you. Where do they contact you if they have older working laptops?
Yeah, well, if they can phone in the community check-in phone line. So it's 1-800-240-519.
Okay, have you an email? That might be easier for the people as well.
My email now, it's a long one.
Okay.
It's catherine.mooney.
Okay.
FCC Partnership.
Sorry,
it's the longest one in history.
FCC. Maybe phone. Okay, 1-800. The phone, if you have an old laptop, once it's working and you've wiped everything, 1-800-240-519. I presume you want old smartphones as well.
Well, you know, I'm not looking for loads. There's only about 5 families now at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, that's grand. Yeah, well, that's grand. So stick to the phone number, 1-800-240-519, if you have old working laptops. And again, it's for people who are cocooning on their own and they want to talk to their family on FaceTime or Zoom or party, what's it called, house party, whatever the various things are. And what other issues are coming up, Catherine, apart from isolation?
Well, there's addiction issues, and we're linking in the drug task force now, referring people on there. There's domestic issues. There's family issues, and as well as dealing with the kids on a day-to-day, trying to get the school work done. That's been a nightmare. There's a good program for the family there. There's a good little videos on YouTube. People can look at that, of how to handle situations that are new and how to work with the kids then.
How are people managing with homeschooling?
Not very well. Well, some are. Some need the extra support, you know. There's some families that they would have had, if there's domestic issues going on, if there are relationship issues or distress, there's so many other supports that would have been there normally on the day to day. So they would have seen the school, they would have linked in with teachers or supports there, they would have gone down the road, see people in the post office, the shop. That's gone now. So we're at home dealing with this nightmare of the lockdown, as well as not seeing their family and friends, and then dealing with like 4 or 5 kids under their feet all day, every day.
And it's tough.
I think that, but there's so much good work being done. So like, there's a lot of people ringing in the check-in phone line talking about like your routine, what are you doing? And then we're linking people on to other services that can do more than kind of the one-to-one and talk about the real issues that are coming up for them and give them support there. So,
yeah. Okay. Stay there for Catherine, just to listen to Luke. Luke Gahan. Luke, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You are on your own.
I am, but I have a little granny flat outside where my grandniece lives and a partner, but in the house I'm on my own.
And how are you getting on, Luke?
I'm not too bad. Joe, I just want to come on to thank the Dublin North Mental Health Service for Older Persons. They're based in the Willow Day Hospital in Beaumont Hall. And to Dr. Morden and their team.
Brilliant.
Yeah. On Monday morning, Regina, the nurse, called on me with a lovely goodie bag called Golden Moments. It consists of paint palette full of paints, colour pencils, sketch pad for seeds for the garden, brown bread to bake.
Brilliant.
And loads of puzzles and everything else.
Well, what type of puzzles?
What type
of puzzles did you get?
Well, you know, the one like find the words and all that.
Oh, great, yeah.
And crossword puzzles. And then...
I presume, did you get a jigsaw?
Yes, loads of jigsaws and full brain activities,
super. And do you like doing jigsaws, Luke?
No, I'd rather do sketching and find a word and that,
brilliant,
you know.
Oh, brilliant. And you like sketching?
I do, yeah.
Oh, good man. And what about painting? You said you got paints as well.
Yes, I had a bad time when my passed away, you know, and then bereavement. And my GP wrote to Dr. Morden and she got me into the day centre there for a couple of days.
Okay.
And I learned all the activities going there, like sketching, painting, baking and everything else, which I've never done before, you know. And I found it great.
Isn't that fantastic? And what did you do before, Luke? What were you working at?
Well, I was a bricklayer by trade, but I was a small builder around Swords here, there. And okay. A lot of people would have known me by then, you know.
And who was it that died on you, Luke?
My elder sister. She's been with me. Well, we've been together. Me, Maisie. My husband, Peter, who died 10 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
And poor Maisie. She died last August on me.
And you and Maisie were sharing for a long time. Is that what you're saying?
We were. Yeah? I was a full-time carer.
You were?
I was, yeah.
To Maisie?
To Maisie,
well
yeah.
Done. Well done, Luke.
She had slight dementia, you know.
Yeah.
She ended up getting stomach cancer and that, you know. And
and obviously you were bad. I can hear you.
In the end. But we had great help from the palliative care people. Okay. And the cancer nurse and all. She died at home, you know.
Okay. And obviously you were very close to Maisie. I can hear you.
I was,
in your voice.
Very close. 60 years nearly, you know.
Yeah.
We went away to England and met up over there again and came back here and bought a house and that, you know.
And did you always share with Maisie?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
and
great.
My husband Peter and our son Stephen, yeah.
So Stephen was reared with you in the house?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And what, you took Maisie's passing, that hit you hard?
Very, very hard, you know,
yeah.
I was in a bad way till I got to see Dr. Morton.
Isn't that fantastic, Luke? And I'm glad, Luke, that you went to your GP, did you?
I did, yeah.
Well, fair play to you for doing that now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being fed up is an awful, evil illness, and they call it depression sometimes, but it's the only illness that tells you can't do anything about me. If you break your arm, you will automatically go to a hospital. But when you get depression tells you, no, you're not going to get rid of me. And that's brilliant that you did the right thing and went to the GP. And that's how you met Dr. Moore. And that's how you got into the day camp. And that's how you became a brilliant artist. That's why you're the new Doreena Allen at baking. You're brilliant at puzzles.
Can I just read out this?
Yeah.
Recipe for happiness that was in with the.
Okay.
It's only short.
You're great. I thought you were going to read out the brown bread recipe, Luke.
Well, this was in with the goodie bag.
Okay.
1 bag of smiles, 2 cups of sharing, 2 pounds of understanding, 1/4 pound of good humour, 1 cup of kindness, 2 spoonfuls of patience, 1 dash of friendship, 4 drops of laughter, and a huge sprinkling of love.
Isn't that fantastic, Luke? And you know the great thing about that recipe, Luke? There's no calories in it.
That's true, yeah.
And Luke, how do you pass your day?
Well, I do sketching and that, and I'm out in the garden.
You're not out
in the garden and that, you know. And I do my favourite banana bread now that I learned in the hostel. Yeah.
And do you see? I know you're cocooned because you're over 70. But do you manage to see many people even at a distance and to have a chat?
The neighbours around are great. You know what
That's
I mean.
Good.
I get out there in the front garden there, and they always talk and that. You know, at a distance to me. You know, and we're keeping the distance. You know.
Yeah. And are yourself amazing? Are you originally from Swords?
No, we're from Crumlin originally.
Oh, okay. And how'd you end up in Swords? So it is a great community out there, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. We're in this house now 47 years since it was built, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You didn't build it, did you?
No, my 2 brothers did, by the way.
Oh, the 2 brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they built a few houses on the estate, and I happened to pick a good site there on it, you know.
Well done. So your day is, do you manage to get up early?
I go to bed late now, Joe, and get up.
Okay, you're right, okay.
I go to bed about 2 o'clock and I get up at 9:30. You know?
That's grand. And what do you do until 2? Do you watch telly or?
No, I don't watch telly during much of the day. I might watch the news at lunchtime and then I'm out in the garden or pottering about my shed I have out the back, cleaning up and
tonic. And what do you be doing until 2 o'clock in the morning?
I'd be watching Netflix. I can't go to bed early.
Yeah, but you say that with a little guilty laugh. That's brilliant that you're watching Netflix. Some people at the minute are so cast down they can't even follow it. And what are you watching on Netflix at the minute?
Well, I watched a good film there last night. What was Night Hunter?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that.
Is that about the photographer that arrives up every time there's a crash? No, is that him?
No.
Okay.
That's not the one. That's great,
yeah. Luke. That's brilliant that you're keeping yourself fit. Is that the one with Robert Mitchum in it?
No.
Okay, I'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Well done,
Luke. And Luke, are you in good health yourself?
I am, I'm in good health myself.
Good stuff. Okay. Thanks, Luke. You mind yourself. Catherine, thank you for all the work you're doing in Heads Up. And the number again is 1-800-240-519 because Catherine, and thankfully Luke has been looked after by that wonderful, what's the centre called again, Luke? The Willow, what did you call it?
The North Dublin
Mental Health.
Centre for seniors, and it's in the day hospital in Bournemouth.
Okay, and will you have a go with the jigsaw?
Sorry, I will. Yeah.
And do you remember when is the last time you got a jigsaw?
Simple one day, yesterday. Now a very simple one.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But the last time most people would have looked at jigsaws is when they were children.
Yeah.
Christmas time or whatever, but they can be very absorbing.
You need plenty of patience.
Plenty of patience. Well, you have it, and you could be reading or looking at telly or painting or sketching at the same time or listening to the radio, so it's great.
Yeah.
And what do you like sketching?
I like sketching the old castles here as swords, and I went back and I got a print from 1874 and the way the castle is today and the way it's been, you know.
And remember, I go to an artist called Brian McCarthy. He's a brilliant, brilliant artist, and he's obviously not operating at the moment and it's his livelihood, but he's a great, great artist. But he always says that when you're going to paint something, use a reference. Don't try and paint it out of your head. We're not Picasso. Use a reference. So it's great that you have a reference and you're looking at it and you're looking at all the little bits and the perspective
and
what's relative and which is bigger and which side of the castle is bigger. So well done, Luke. And send us in a copy of a photograph of your artwork. I'd love to see it.
Thank you, Joe.
Luke, you mind yourself. Ring us anytime you need anything. Do you hear me?
Thank you. Anytime.
If you're stuck for anything or you wanted something or you wanted an old photograph of somewhere, just give us a shout. Catherine Murphy, thanks. Thanks indeed. 51551. Wash your hands. Back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. Pat Murphy, sorry for holding you there, Pat. Your situation, Pat, at the moment.
I have, he'll be 22 on Friday.
Okay. And what's his name? And he's called?
Alan.
Alan, great.
And he has Angelman syndrome.
Okay.
Which is, he's missing chromosome 15 since he was born.
Okay, and how does that show itself?
Well, thank God, touch wood, he hasn't had epilepsy fit in 4 years, which is good.
Okay.
So he's at home with us now. He has no respite service, no home support, and no day service.
Okay. And when you what else? Angelman syndrome. And you the minute I asked you were
you
positive.
There?
Yeah, I'm yet longer. The minute I asked you put the positive on it, which is great that he hasn't had an epileptic in 4 years. But how else does Angelman syndrome show itself, Pat?
He could take a seizure, but thank God, as I say, like, he has the emergency medication in the house that I know what to do.
Yeah.
And then he's on Epilim for his seizures.
Okay. And so you say he can't get respite, so can he look after himself?
No.
No, okay. And what does he need help with?
Incontinence, feeding, and the whole lot.
Oh, God.
And he attends an adult service down in Blakestown, and his care worker is called Philip, which he has been with him for nearly 3 years.
Yeah.
And he has brought him on heaps and bounds with walking and out into the city centre in the last 3 years. So he's socialising.
Yeah.
And now
he's at home 24/7.
Well, yeah, since the 13th of March.
Yeah.
So we had no home support. We had home support every weekend for 4 hours on a Saturday, and a girl used to come in and take him out for the 4 hours. But now that stopped since the 13th of March. So now Alan won't walk for us, his mammy and daddy. So now we have to use the wheelchair.
Okay.
Whereas care worker had him walking in the park and brought him into town on the bus with no wheelchair.
Isn't that
and
incredible?
Walked him around the city.
So he misses his routine, he misses his contact.
His routine is all gone.
With his buddy, his new buddy, the care worker.
Yeah. His care worker is even missing him.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had to take the photographs that we had with his care worker because his care worker had him doing last year of planting plants.
Yeah.
And doing other things, but that's all gone by the window now. Yeah.
And I presume because he's not going out during the day and he's a young man, he's only 22.
Well, he's 22 not on Friday, so we can celebrate that. We had his 21st last year, which was a good night.
Oh, that was good. Well, we'll treasure those memories in the meantime. And Friday is the first day of May. But what I'm thinking of, if he was going the day course, if he was going into town, if he was going walking with his carer, he was using up his energy.
Yeah, but now he's not using it up. So now he could wake up now this morning, woke up at 4 o'clock and didn't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So he's not walking now. So he's not doing. And then I tried to do what his carer did, his care worker did. He had him planting seeds and the whole lot where he attends day service, the adult service. And I tried that last week with him out in the back garden and he wasn't having any yet. So he knew, what am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be doing this here in the back garden.
It's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is very difficult.
So, as I say, he's incontinent and you're trying to do as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Dad and me that are here and we're in our late 60s.
Okay.
And it's just that if we can even get the HSE... you know, give us back home support at weekends. Because Alan went out for nearly a couple of hours with his home supporter on a weekend on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But that gave us a break to do your shopping. But now you're running out the door and you can only stay an hour or two, but then you're on the queue for the shopping. I know some of the special needs children are in residential cares and they can't see them.
Yeah.
The parents can't see them. But we're not superhuman. We're trying to do our best.
Even if there was some respite for a few weeks.
No, respite is gone. There's no respite, no home support, no day service. That's all gone.
We're still only getting a glimpse of how deep into the fissures and nooks and crannies of society this pandemic has gone and the effect it's had.
It's having an awful effect on the parents and then it's the other parents that have younger siblings that attend national schools or that are not affected. So maybe some of the parents have an older child with, now I'm lucky I don't have a younger child than Alan.
Yeah.
But some of the other parents that have, say, kids that attend national school, and then they're trying to look after the one with special needs ones that are after that attend national school.
Yeah.
You know, they can't go anywhere because they can't bring them out to a park or, you know, supermarket or nothing. We can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
So we need something done now.
Okay. And it's important that you're heard as well.
Because we're all trying to do our best. And, you know, I know it's harder on people that have... I can't even see the grandchildren. So the HSE or someone has to come up with a solution now.
Because people are struggling, I know they are.
Yeah, I know we are.
Okay, well, let's hear. Stay with us, Pat. 51551 with your hands. Anna.
Oh, Anna, my friend.
Oh, very good. Anna.
Hi, hello.
What's your situation, Anna?
Well, I have 22-year-old daughter with autism and severe learning disability.
Right.
So I just don't understand the logic behind HSE's decision to take the home support away from us. Like, any residential house has a family setting, and people... You know, they are permanent residents there, and then people come in and they look after them. So we basically the same residential house, like, you know, only less people. So our home support could have made the choice whether she, you know, is okay to come and help us. You know, she could have, it would have been a work again, like, you know, so she could have worn a protective gear and helped us. But, you know, we are struggling. I know that every family is a coronavirus hostage at the moment, but we are even more so. Mm-hmm. Because, say, imagine trying to get a 20-year-old adult out of the bed, wash them, dress them, do the hair, do with little or no cooperation whatsoever. So, I mean, this is just very difficult. And we are not young anymore. So, at the end, like, basically. So if we can get the home support at least back, we understand why, you know, the centers are closed, why we can't get respite. But, I mean, to take the home support away from us, this is just, it's really cool. That's what I think.
And your Ella is 22. Who's in the house with you, Anna?
My husband. My husband, myself, and Ella. And he helps a lot. But, you know, the hygiene, he can't really... I wouldn't do that to my daughter, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
So I can't even leave the house for more than an hour because he could ring me and he can say, like, she's upset, like, you know, come back, change her. So that's another thing. And then the routine is disrupted and she self-harms when things do not go her way. So dealing with that as well, on top of everything else that you have to deal with, like your own mental kind of breakdown, then you have to deal with her.
How are you managing on that front, Anna?
Well, trying to calm her down. I have home remedies that, you know, that I use for her. Like, I use CBD oil for her. I use lavender baths, you know, so things like that. But we have no other way, you know, to help her.
That's right. And if you can, you talk to anyone about your own stresses and strains, which are obviously very, very intense at the moment?
Well, I have friends who listen, but, you know, I'm used to it. For 22 years, I've been Ella's sole carer, and I kind of know how to deal with my own issues. It's just I need a free time sometimes. Like, you know, for the last 7 weeks, there was no break for me.
Okay.
You see, that's the part that I'm struggling with. Like, if at least I used to have 2 nights a month of respite. So basically, she was gone for 24 hours, and that was time for myself and my husband, you know, to be together, like, you know, as a couple.
Yeah.
And then she's in adult center from, say, 9 to 3 p.m. And again, that's the time for me to do the little cooking, you know, tidying up, you know, things like that. So, but then she doesn't sleep either well. So on top of everything else, I'm sleep deprived. So.
Joe.
Yes, Pat.
When we got the respite, when we had them in respite, we could sort of book away with our partners for going for a meal or something like that.
You know, have a normal family life, basically, you know.
You know, even go away for a weekend or go to events or something like that. But now we can't do that. We're locked down. I know people are locked down, but we're more locked down than anyone else.
Yeah, I understand that.
And fact, as I said to you, Alan won't walk for us now anymore. Yeah. We have to bring him out in the wheelchair, which we never had to do.
Yeah.
And so he's going backwards instead of he was going forwards.
Yeah, on the one hand, from what I hear, both of you saying, Anna and Pat, you understand that the day centres are the daycare centres are shut down because of this pandemic.
Yeah.
But is there any way the HSE could send the person into the house to help?
To even get back
home support,
or,
like, give us the home support back. That's all we need. Yeah. And that's as I said, like, you know, it's a family setting now. It's the same residential house. Like, I don't see a logic behind the decision to take away the home support. Like, I don't get that. It's not like somebody would have come in and, like, we would have sat down and had a cup of tea. They would have come in to do their work with our children and give us some time off. But for 7 weeks, there was no break for us.
No.
It's 24/7 job. It's 7 days a week. There is no break, you know, and anybody is bound to break, like, and we are doing what we can.
Okay. Okay, Anna, I'm thinking, anyway, it's important that you have a platform to raise these issues, and I really appreciate...
We appreciate your help so much, Luke.
And I appreciate you making that point so strongly, and you too, Pat, but that doesn't in any way alleviate the challenges both you face day in, day out, 24/7, 365 at the minute for Ella and Alan. But kind regards, kind regards to you and your families. That's Pat Murphy and Anna both making the same point about, can they, is there any possibility of getting some home help for their special needs children who have serious issues and they're at their wit's end, as you could hear there, at their wit's end. Okay, 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Let's look at two. There's loads of great fundraising initiatives for frontline workers at the moment. We wanted to find out about them. Tom Coe. Tom, good afternoon.
Joe, good afternoon.
A crisp presentation, please, Tom, because that's what you do, Joe's crisps. Am I right?
That's us, yeah, okay. The one and only.
But you're not doing, you are still doing it, and they're a staple in many households. And I know you've been looking after a lot of workers as well, essential workers. But you've started another project for frontline workers. What is it, Tom?
Yeah, very good. So I'll give you a very brief background. I suppose that at a personal level, my own wife is a nurse, and lots of family and friends involved in the frontline healthcare. So a few weeks ago, I've kind of seen the self-sacrifice these people are putting themselves and their families at risk. So, you know, really want to do something about it. Understood that there's a huge amount of goodwill among the Irish people, and really wanted to say thank you. So, you know, we're very lucky here. I've got some fantastic people around me in the business, and I said, surely there's something we could come up with here to help the Irish people say thanks. So that's what we did. We developed the campaign, Ireland Thanks You.
Okay.
And the whole idea is, our goal is to raise €500,000 to get 5,000 Ireland Thanks You gift vouchers and give them personally to 5,000 frontline healthcare heroes around the country.
Brilliant idea. Brilliant
That's
idea.
Goal. That's their goal, yeah. So,
okay. But the thing I like about your endeavour as well is, if you, as I see from your ad, every 25 quid donation that goes to the frontline workers, but you get a free T-shirt. And the T-shirt is that great motto, which the T-shirt used on St. Patrick's Day, not all superheroes wear capes.
And yeah, that's the one, and it was actually a design that was designed by two young men, Senan and Jonah Brady, 5 and 7 years old. They designed the T-shirt for us.
Brilliant.
And we said we'd use it as the campaign logo. And I suppose the colour of the T-shirt is also symbolic. It's a scrubs blue.
Oh, beautiful,
and
yeah.
What we're doing is we're asking the Irish people to wear blue and help to show their support.
So I donate 25 quid, more hopefully, but people, there's lots of people looking for donations. You send me out a T-shirt, I give you my address and size or whatever, so what would you do?
That's it. So you visit our website, IrelandThanksYou.ie.
Okay, brilliant.
And there you can make your donation, and you can redeem a free T-shirt. For every €25 donated, you can redeem one free T-shirt, and we will send that out to you. And what we are asking is for people to actually wear those T-shirts, wear blue, and post online, post on social media, tell your friends, tell your family, help spread the word, and get that message out there.
And as well, you're actually buying, you will have something, hopefully when this awfulness, this pestilence is over, you will have something to market in this T-shirt, because this T-shirt is a one-off in that sense. They won't be produced ad nauseum or in infinity, we hope. Not all superheroes wear capes. It's IrelandThanksYou.ie. Now, by the way, Tom, who's paying for the T-shirt?
Well, that's us. That's my business at the minute. But I'll put the call out there. If we're looking for corporate assistance, we're looking for corporate donations. So if anybody else out there in business would like to help us, we're all ears. And you can contact us through that website, IrelandThanksYou.ie. but I'd also call out to all your listeners, we need your support.
Okay, but the key is, and this is the wonderful thing about it, every 25 quid they donate goes to one of those vouchers.
Exactly. Yeah, 100% okay. of their donation goes to one of those vouchers.
And how will you pick the frontline workers?
Yeah, I suppose a very interesting question. And, we're working with the HSC to get their direction as to how to allocate this around healthcare workers. We're looking at, you know, there's huge issues in care homes at the minute. There's obviously some hospitals that are very, very badly affected. So we over time, when this campaign comes to its fruition, we'll be working with those lists, and we will get those vouchers out to all those frontline healthcare workers. Directly impacted by this virus.
And it's one, you're buying at least, well, hopefully at least 5,000 One For All gift cards, which is great for them as well. I'm sure they're being very kind to you, but there will be specially commissioned ones for the times that we're in it. And but that means 5,000 by one. You need 500,000 quid.
We need 500,000 quid.
Oh, wow.
It's a big ask. Okay. But you know what? I think we can do it.
Okay. Ireland thanks you.ie. And by the way, how's the crisp business?
Crisp. I suppose we're very lucky here. We're in food, and people always have to eat. And we've a potato business here and a crisp business here. And we've seen huge increases in demand. You know, so we can only be thankful for that.
Now, how did you clean? Given that Tato is such an incredible brand and such a massive historic brand in many ways, how did you take the plunge into Joe's potatoes?
From potatoes into crisps.
Yeah, no, that's straightforward. Sorry, but what gave you the gumption to take on Tato?
What else did you do, Joe? Well, listen, there was a number of reasons, but I suppose primarily it was a decline in fresh potato sales in Ireland, and the emergence of the premium. Those premium luxury sharing crisps, popularity of those. So about 9-10 years ago, we said, yeah, this is something we want to do. So we set up a little crisp frying line there on the farm.
Remember the photographs of it,
and off we went. And today we're almost 10% of the Irish market, and we're exporting to nearly 20 countries.
Oh, isn't that magnificent?
It's been a roller coaster, but it's a great success. Yeah, okay. We're very proud of it.
And have crisp sales gone up in the meantime in this...
They are, believe it or not, because obviously people cannot travel to restaurants, etc. at the moment. So what people are doing is they're treating themselves at home. They're having that glass of wine and that nice bag of Keogh's crisps. And we've seen a big increase in sales due to that.
Stay there, Tom, because you link, funnily enough, I think you link into the next issue, because if somebody's thinking of donating money, if you use Liz Rackard and Tom Keogh, you'll actually get two items for your donation. Liz Rackard, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How's it going?
Liz, award-winning artist of long standing. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks very much.
Cocooned. Are you locked? Well, you're not of that age group. I know that. But you're at home like most artists are at the moment.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing for artists in some ways.
So you've come up with an idea.
Yes. I've been doing this now just for the last 2 weeks. Inspired, Joe, by Wash Your Hands.
Wash Your Hands.
I've had somebody in this house going around saying that all the time.
Okay. So Tormenting you.
It's not an unpleasant sound at all. I was doing a bit of liner print things, so I decided to make a print of Wash Your Hands.
Now, I hope you spell it the way I pronounce it, Y-E-R, Ballyfermot.
I do, yeah, okay, totally, okay. 100% Ballyfermot.
Wash Your Hands.
I made another one when they're wanting people to stay at home, you know, so it's a picture of a little snail, you probably see it there, just barely peeping out of their shell saying, stay at home, and then the third one was, don't touch your face. So I just thought when I had them then, I'd maybe, you know, do some... charity donations, trying and generate some charity donations, because I know that it's been a kind of a struggle, you know.
So the deal is, you're saying to people, I will send you a print, a lineup print, and every one of them is different, effectively, the way lineup prints work. And every one of them is handmade by you, Liz. Isn't that correct?
That's right. Well, maybe they're all the same, but there can be slight variations because they're slight handmade.
Brilliant. I'm very conscious of by one of our leading artists. If you, for example, donate to Tom Coe's Ireland's Frontline Heroes, I'll give the information out again in a sec. If you donate, what you do is you screen grab your donation. Mm-hmm. And then you send the screen grab to you, Liz, isn't that it?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, and
I have proof of donation.
Yeah, wonderful.
You know, €15 gets you one print, and €25 gets you two prints, and €30 gets you three prints. You know.
Brilliant. So, in other words, you're not getting the money, you're not deciding on the charity. You decide on the charity yourself, but you want to make a gesture to people who are supporting a charity, and you say, send me a screen grab, and if you send me a screen grab that you've donated 15 quid, you get one print, 25 quid, two prints, and 30 quid, three prints. That's very good deductions. Yeah. That's how it's like done stores. One for 15, two for 25, and three for 30.
I think there's a lost business person somewhere.
Okay. And you send it to, it's a screen grab to your email address.
My email address, I have a website, lizrackard.com. Email address is there. The prints aren't up on the website at the moment, but
you've sent me copies and they're brilliant. They're brilliant. Yeah. And people can maybe buy a little frame for them. And again, it's another memento of these awful times we live in. And hopefully when we're out of them, people can look at your wonderful prints and look at Ireland Thanks You t-shirts and say, aren't we glad we're on the other side of this and we'll make more of the life we have, including painting. We had a wonderful man on earlier, Luke Gahan. I don't know if you heard him, Liz.
I heard him.
Taken up sketching recently and painting, and it's a wonderful.
It's one of the things about creativity, Joe. It's ageless, you know. Yeah, yeah. There's not an age on it, so it's lovely to hear from.
And anyone can paint. I know you're an artist, and I know James Hanley and Mick O'Dea and all those wonderful artists out there. Yeah. Una Seely, brilliant people.
Yeah, yeah.
But anytime you meet them, when you say to them, "I'd love to paint," they say, "What's stopping you? What's stopping you?"
Yeah, exactly.
Brian McCarthy, the fellow I go to the shop, he's a brilliant artist. Yeah. I remember the first conversation I had with him 15 years. I rang up, I said, "Brian, I'd like to paint," and he said, "What's stopping you?"
Absolutely, especially agree 100%,
in these times. Okay, Liz, it's a brilliant gesture. Fair play, to you know, Liz. Okay. Liz.Rackard@gmail.com, or just put in Liz Rackard, and Liz is one of the famous Rackards from Wexford, aren't you? The hurlers going back. Am I
that's right?
Liz? Right.
Yes. Yeah. My father was on the Wexford team. My father's brothers. Yeah.
All the brothers. All the Rackards. Yeah. Great, Liz. Kind regards to you and your family, Liz and Tom Keogh. I know one of your siblings. Given that a minute, isn't one of your siblings the wonderful Lainey Keogh?
That is. That's my Aunt Lainey.
Is your aunt. And she's a fantastic designer as well.
She's amazing talent. We're blessed to have her in the family.
Okay, well done. Yeah. Tom, and fair play to you for that wonderful effort. Yes, sir?
Just one thing before I go. I'll be killed if I don't mention it. My youngest brother, Kevin, living in San Francisco.
Okay.
Himself and his wife, Rebecca, had a little baby here last night.
That's magnificent.
They're all the way over there on their own. Difficult time. And we'd just like to send them all our best wishes.
Okay. And what's the baby's name?
Freya.
Freya?
Yeah.
Well, one of my best friends is Freya McClements, who wrote a book. We wrote a book together. Another best friend is Freya, who works in Specsavers. So it's a gorgeous name. Is that their first child?
That's their first child,
Isn't that magnificent?
They're a long way away and there's nobody around them. So we'd just like to send them our best wishes.
Okay. You surely have, Tom. Well done on that IrelandThanksYou.ie effort, and Liz Rackard as well. As I say, if you use that system between the wonderful Ireland Thanks You and the wonderful Liz Rackard to make a donation to our frontline workers, every single cent goes to them, you will have two incredible mementos in your life. Okay, 51551, wash your hands.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rt.ie. Joanne and Kate Caitlin have both phoned us in on the same issue. Go ahead, Joanne. What's the issue?
Hi, Joe. Hi. I'm a truck driver. It's to do with, going to different customers' premises and they're not letting you use the toilets and facilities and stuff like that, you know. And the same with filling stations and stuff, you know.
Oh, they've closed all their bathrooms and toilets.
Yeah, well, I was in a place yesterday and did a big sign on the door saying they had no toilets or canteen for truck drivers. But yet there was contractors, builders, everybody else was free to use the toilets, and the truck driver's just been discriminated against again, you know.
Well, that's a pity, isn't it? Given that you bring so much business to service stations.
Well, this is it, you know, and it's like the place I was in was a private premises. It wasn't a service station.
Mm-hmm.
But like, given our kind of our job, we're in our cab on our own.
For long journeys.
Like, yeah, like we're not piling into minibuses or transit vans doing a daily commute, but yet the people who are free to use bathrooms in these premises and we're not, you know.
As you say, you're on your own. That's the nature of the world.
Yeah.
But also when you're on your own, you have to have a bottle of water, whatever, which is, so you do need, as everyone does, you do need to use the facilities. And it's even more difficult if you're a woman.
Well, this is it, you know. And even if you do, do a call of nature, like off the side of a back road somewhere, you know, you have no facilities to wash your hands or anything like that, you know. And baby wipes.
Insofar as you know, Joanne, is it uniformly across filling stations?
It seems to be a bit hit and miss. Like up the east coast is fairly okay, but it seems to be the further west you go. Toilets are just cordoned off, and like the you know, in the filling stations, they're cordoned off for everybody. And you explain to them in the base that, you know, you're a truck driver, and you know, you can't just pop home like to use a toilet or something, and they just say, we don't care, get out, kind of thing, you know.
But when you make a delivery, you're telling me as well that the company you're making a delivery to, who obviously need the delivery, when you say, can I use your facilities, they say no.
They say no, yeah.
But you say to them, listen, I've driven 4 hours to bring you whatever I'm delivering to keep your business going, and you won't let me use the bathroom.
Yeah, but this is it. In the place I was in yesterday, I was actually collecting stuff out of it for export. So it was, you know, for their benefit for me to be there. And like, I'd spent the night parked up just outside the factory. And, you know yourself, when you get up in the morning, the call of nature is a bit stronger. And I thought to myself, no problem, I'll use the toilet inside in the factory. And they said no. And I was there for almost 2 hours while I was loading all their stuff onto the trailer. And, you know, still had no toilet facilities or nothing. But yet, all the builders and everybody else who was on the site.
They were walking on site, yeah.
They could all just walk in and out and use the toilets and canteen facilities and everything.
Do you often sleep in your truck through the night?
Yeah, it would be 3-4 nights a week probably, you know.
Wow. What size truck are you driving?
I'm driving an R500 Scania.
Oh, Scania, great truck, yeah.
Yeah.
Facility doesn't have a bathroom in it.
It doesn't have a bathroom.
Has a bunk, but it doesn't have a bathroom.
Well, that's about it, yeah.
Okay, stay there, Joanne. Catalin, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, Catalin, yeah. How are you?
Okay, tell us, you have the same issue.
Yeah, I have the same situation. I work at the same company with Joanne.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going around the country in this week again. Last week was same, like, start from Wexford, go around Belfast, Derry, back to Cork, Skibbereen, and go home. Eh? And very hard to find out the toilets where we can go on, you know, and room where we can go. I must ring my friends because I'm out a week at the moment. I'm on way home now, pick up the other chair, go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this hard situation, we can't go for shower. We can eat food, normal food, you know.
Yeah.
If we have no time for do the food, we only eat the dry food and things. So I don't think this fair with all driver, not only with women and not only with John and me. It's all driver, you know.
Okay, Catalin,
you in situation now.
Did you say to me yesterday you drove from Derry to Skibbereen?
Derry to Skibbereen. I stopped 4 places before Ballyhonies, calling my friend's house.
Yeah.
I was mustering her, you know, because I moved for 3-4 days and must go get over and things. So I'm saying here, no, thanks for our friends who is help out in this hard situation.
So you called into your friend's house to use her bathroom. And how many garages did you try and were refused?
Four before Ballyhounis, before friend's house. And after, I'm going in Mallow,
yeah.
Limerick, Mallow, Cork. Two filling station in Cork, and both is them like sticker on the door. And Bondon, I'm going up on the hill on the Bondon, first filling station is closed. Yeah. So I both must turn back and go back way for a toilet. You know, so it's hard for everyone.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, that's not fair, because every driver is on the road and work hard for this country, you know.
Working extremely hard at the minute, and the government have acknowledged that, and they're saying once you keep the guidelines, you can go from Derry to Skib and do the best we can, because that's what we need at the moment.
Loads of places too small for parking up, so.
Yeah, they should definitely allow truck drivers in. Definitely, you're essential. If you're on the road at the minute, you're essential services. And Catelyn, where are you from originally?
I'm from Budapest originally.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Ballyhonis, but you're not Ballyhonis. You're Budapest.
No, I'm living back four years ago. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And have you relations still in Budapest?
My family at home.
And how is the COVID-19 in Hungary?
I think it's the same situation, you know. Lockdown. And very hard. Can't visit family at the moment. All the Hungarian people we see are very hard going home, you know.
Yeah.
It's no in, no outside, you know.
Yeah.
Only truck drivers can go, same like, but they are in same situation in Europe side, so.
Yeah.
I've got loads of friends who studied, so.
Okay.
So that's. Hopefully you'll be better soon.
Okay. Well, what's important that your plea is heard, especially to garages, the big. I don't know what the policy is in the big ones now, Circle K and Apple Green and Maxall, the big ones out there. But there should be some proviso for truck drivers. And I don't even know how to say this. I don't know how anyone, Joanne or Caitlin, I don't know anyone approached by a woman. Approached by a woman having slept outside their premises all night so they could get their delivery first thing, and you say to them, can I use your bathroom? And they say no.
But Joe, there is some customers there that are brilliant.
Okay.
They'll actually ask you, do you want to use the toilet or facilities before you leave or whatever? Or
well, that's what we want,
coffee
yeah.
And
well,
things.
That's what we
there,
want,
there,
yeah.
There are good ones out there.
Okay.
And like the likes of the big garages like the Circle K and stuff like that, like they're doing like free coffee and a donut for truck drivers
great.
Stuff like that, you know.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's just a calling for understanding to anyone at the moment who's refusing truck drivers' use of the facilities. I know everyone makes their own decision, but I don't think anyone would take umbrage at such a fantastic gesture for essential services. Joanne, safe travelling in your Scania.
Thanks,
and Caitlin, are you in a Scania as well?
Yeah, same like, yeah.
Okay,
not so, as nice as mine, though.
Not as nice as yours, okay. And Joanne, have you got yours done up inside?
I have it done up inside, Joe, yeah.
Yeah, to what? Photographs of your family or...?
No, not really. Just pink curtains and duvets and stuff.
Brilliant. And what about your Catelyn? Have you got yours decorated?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my one is leopard skin colour. So,
okay.
Loads of pillow, everything.
Loads of pillow. Brilliant. Okay. Okay, well done. And thanks for your service.
Thank
and,
you so
and safe travelling, the two of you.
Thanks.
51551, my chant. Yo!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'll give out those details at the end. I'll also give you access to Luke Gahan's wonderful recipe for happiness at the moment. Susan Powell. Susan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Back to this issue, which is big, looking at our call data today. That is parents with special needs children who have been in daycare centres are getting respite. They feel abandoned at this stage. Susan, what's your situation?
Well, my daughter is nearly 31 now, and she went to day service up in Stewart's Monday to Friday.
That's in Palmerstown in Dublin, yeah.
Yeah, and Palmerstown, yeah. And I also got respite. I got a week every month because she would have a lot of special needs and challenging behaviour. So I've been getting that for quite a while. So obviously I've lost all that. But what I just wanted, I was saying earlier, was I've had a couple of bad days, really. But about 2 weeks ago now, I was just really distraught myself, and she was having a bad day, and obviously she pulls down me and scratches me in the whole lot. And I had a nearly complete breakdown here. And funny enough, it was like, as people knew, I happened to get phone calls out of the blue, and the social worker rang, and I hadn't heard from her in a couple of months. And I broke down on the phone, and she said, trying to think of ways that she could help. And she said, I'll ring you in a couple of days. She rang back. She said, would it help out if we got somebody to come in and sit for a while you went out, or to bring her out for a walk? But to be honest, Joe, I opted not to go for that because, to be honest, I haven't had any of my family, my sisters or aunt, would be able to help me out, but I haven't had anybody in the house because I'm trying to protect her and the rest of us. So I didn't take that option, to be honest with you, as bad as things were. But what she did say was she said she could give me a letter, send an email onto my phone, to say that she said, would she benefit from going out on long drives? And I said she would. And she likes going out to the beach and just walking because she's no speech or anything, and she'd like walking. And she sent me that letter.
Ah, brilliant.
Quite a good letter. And I have her on my phone. And since then, in the last week and this week, only at the weekends when my husband's not walking because he's only one car, we've went out to Dolly Mount. And another day we went out to Bray. We are stopped, which is understandable. And we expect that. But they totally understand. And as soon as you tell them and show them, they say it's fine.
Isn't that fantastic?
That's what's working for us now. I am here Monday to Friday till my husband gets home, and we try to get out about 7 o'clock for a short walk with her. But it's the weekends then that I'm thankful for that to be able to go for long drives.
And she's 31, so that's
she'll be 31 in June,
It'd be difficult to manage. Is her behaviour very challenging,
It can be, you know, on days that she has issues.
And she doesn't understand, but...
She doesn't understand, so if she, I try to, you know, you don't know if she's a pain or just something wrong with her, and, you know, so she gets an iodine, and I have a couple of scratches, and, you know, the pinches and the bruises, and I get upset then, you know what I mean? So I know she doesn't understand, and I find the last couple of days, I find that she looks very depressed looking, to be honest with you. She's sleeping a lot, and I try to get her out and put on films, but she seems very down and a little bit quiet, even though she's no speech and she's no understanding. But she's obviously out of routine, and she's not seeing other people.
Out of routine is a big thing, isn't it? It's a big getting out. Stay with us, Susan. Teresa Ginty. Teresa, what's your situation? It's your daughter,
19. Yeah, it's Teresa Byrne. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, Teresa, okay. What's your daughter's name? Do you want to give me your first name, just?
Yeah, I can. It's Ellie.
Ellie, okay.
Yeah, so she's 19. Right. And just basically, like what many of the women have said there, she attends a daycare service at the National Learning Network in Bray. And that would be up in the morning, the routine would be going, and then you pick her up later on, and the structure is there, set in stone. And now that's all gone out the window. They're giving her homework and everything, and she's doing her absolute best to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle, and she gets so frustrated because normally her mentors are there with her, and then I have to try and help her with it. And I mightn't be able to know a lot of what's going on or what they expect her to do, but you just have to keep the momentum going. But, you know, exercise is another thing. She's so reluctant to do exercise, and that would have been part of her program. Now, I'm part of a group called Organisation for Anticonvulsant Syndrome, and that's where my daughter's disability stemmed from. But it's a lot of the people, a lot of the children who have this type of disability, some of them attend the daycare service, some of them are in respite, Joe, or not in respite, in long-term care.
Okay.
And their families can't get to them.
Yeah.
It is, and they're crawling, the children
don't understand. The parents can't explain it to them, and there's no end in sight. There's no services for them. There's nothing. We can't provide them with anything. And a lot of these children have, I don't know, it's like a gift that they would have. Mm-hmm. It's nearly like my daughter loves art. She's big into art. Mm-hmm. A lot of them might like Lego.
Yeah.
And we have to fund that, Joe. Yeah. And it's hugely expensive.
But
to keep them occupied.
And how are you managing to build a routine around Ellie every day?
So, has to try and... They email her the homework.
Okay.
And then we try and get her out. We try and get to go for a walk. Our little dog is great. Now, he's sick at the moment, but we try and go out.
Probably sick of walking, is he?
God love him.
People calling to bring him for a walk.
She loves it. Now, thank God, we're out in the country, so at least, you know, it's something. But, I mean, Joe, the minister, I don't know if it's still Finney McGrath at this stage, but
it is,
somebody has to do something, you know, and it's desperate. I mean, I hear what that other woman just said there as well. It's absolutely, we're at our wit's end now at this stage, you know, and we can't even explain to them to bring some amount of normality around it.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
You sound,
and I know you've got your ear chewed off, and I do understand
that's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to hear the situation. It's in no way gratifying, but it is a privilege to have access into the difficulties. And I can hear the strain in your voice. I could hear it in Susan's.
Yeah.
I could hear it earlier on in...
We do have a Facebook page that
we have set up to support
the mothers and that. Exactly, that's it. And the mothers are great on it. And, you know, we've a good board and stuff, but it's just, oh God, it's...
Oh, okay, I can hear but Pat earlier on, I can hear the same pleading in your voices.
Yeah.
Anne, good afternoon. That's testing. I'll go back to that in a sec. Sarah Corrigan, Sarah, you've another, it's another angle on this because you've offered to help out.
Yeah.
And what's happened?
Well, I've answered Ireland's call and I've put in all my expertise and my details, you know, that I healthcare assistant, but also community support worker as well. And that would be my original line of work would be autism and community support worker. But I've just been getting automated sort of updates.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten any offer of, you know.
So you've answered Ireland's call. You said did you specifically say I'd love to help out children with autism because you used to be a home support worker? Did they ask?
Well, it doesn't do that. It kind of gives you two sections where your expertise lies.
Oh, okay.
So you just have a drop-down list.
Okay.
And you can go to support work or...
And all the ads at the minute say, you know, contact or else your local council. What part of the country are you in, Sarah?
Inishowen,
Donegal. Maybe up there there'll be people who are that situation. Mary, your daughter is a nurse. You say there might be movement. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, how you doing, Joe? Yeah, first of all, I want to offer my sympathy towards all the parents with children with intellectual disabilities because I do realise how hard it is and the staff realise how hard it is when children haven't got set routines. But you have to realise as well, most of the staff have all been redeployed. They've been from ABC everywhere. My child is working 13-hour shifts. She's coming in every night completely shattered. Emotionally, physically drained, you know, worrying about our patients, trying to explain to clients, patients, you know, that have the virus or whatever like that. You know, it's one thing, God forbid, a normal, healthy person without an intellectual disability getting this, but then when you have this on top, you know. But I don't want parents to think that the staff aren't bothered because they're far from bothered. They're trying their utmost best to look after these guys, you know. Like, it is...
13 hours a day, not even getting a
lunch. 13 hours a day, she comes in, she has changed her clothes, she'll arrive in with a bag of sea clothes, which have to be boil washed every night, she has to boil wash herself. You know, it's just, they're worn out, they're literally at this point. This virus has no category, has no, like, distinction. It will go for anybody.
It's going for anybody.
Yeah. And if people just copped on and stayed at home and do what the government is telling them...
Yeah, we'd be out of this sooner rather than later.
We would be out of it. And all these children, all these adults would be able to get back into the service.
And the other end, as I said at the start, the calls we were getting today, where a lot of the calls were overtaken by people who were with special needs children. They feel really isolated. But a lot of calls were about the testing. And I see a call there from Anne saying, just one of them, an example, I was referred by GP, her daughter, for testing on the 14th of April. This was marked as urgent, still haven't been tested. In the meantime, went through 2 weeks with severe symptoms, but still no test, which is a pity. By the way, people are looking for, we'll tweet it on at Joe Liveline and at RT Liveline. It was Luke's recipe for happiness, and this is it. When you have one bag of smiles, 2 cups of sherry, 2 pounds of understanding, 1/2 cup of good humour, 1 cup of kindness, 2 spoonfuls carefully measured of patience, 1 small dash of beautiful friendship, 4 drops of laughter, and a massive sprinkling, just let yourself go, of love and hugs. That's a recipe for happiness. Smiles, sharing, understanding, good humour, kindness, patience, friendship, laughter. Annette Egan produced, and Jamie Dye was on sound, and Ray Darcy was next.
Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along.